You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead.
Today, as we start off Palm Sunday, as we've got You've Got a Friend in Me, we've had that kind of series title the whole series, but today we look at how we've got a friend in Him, how we've got a friend in Jesus. We're going to specifically look at what happened on Palm Sunday, because how many of you guys have ever had a friend show up for you? We'll just say it like that. Like, they were there when nobody else would be there. Like, they were there moving the boxes. They were the 2 a.m. phone calls. They were the one, my friend just broke up, my love of my life just broke up with me, right? And they're talking you down off the ledge, right? They're the ones that are lowering the gun out of your hand. Like, those friends that show up when nobody else will. We've been talking about those types of friends, about how important it is to have those types of friends, what the foundation of friendship is throughout this series, right? Because those are the friends that we need, not when it's easy, right? Not when it's convenient, right? Showing up for the baby shower, right? Showing up for the bridal shower, showing up for the free food at the wedding, right? Those are a certain level of friends, but the friends that's making sure the marriage stays together. The one that's fighting with you, fighting for you, right? Not when it's easy, not when it's convenient, but when it's messy, when it's uncomfortable, when things get complicated and they need a ride to the rehab facility, right? Those types of friends, because I believe that's when you find out what real friendship looks like. Right? It's easy to have people around when life is going well. All of you were wearing Purdue stuff last week. But Tom's over there sporting his Purdue gear today. Ray's got it on, right? It's a lot easier to wear the Cubs hat when they've won a couple games, right? But it's after the season's over, when things didn't turn out the way that we all hoped it would, right? The real friendship that still shows up when it's costly. And that's exactly what I want to talk about today on Palm Sunday. Sometimes I like Palm Sunday a little bit more than Easter Sunday. And as I've admitted that a few times, people look at me, they're like, what? Because Jesus knew what was ahead. And He did it anyways. He knew the journey that the cross was on the other end of the week, and he decided to come in anyways. He knew the betrayal. That's because real friendship shows up when it's costly. See, Jesus surrounded by a crowd, right? We would think that that's the pinnacle, that's the greatest moment. They've seen now all the miracles. They've witnessed the power of Jesus, and they're ready for Him to overtake Rome, right? They're loud. They're excited. They're shouting His name. They're shouting, Hosanna. They're shouting, save us. By Friday, though, those voices are silent. Those voices have flipped the script. Those voices are now shouting, crucify Him. See, Jesus knows that those cheers won't last long. He knows that the crowd is temporary. He knows that the cross is coming. And Jesus chooses to ride in anyway. This isn't just a powerful moment. I believe it's a significant moment biblically. Because what's happening isn't random, right? Many times we think, oh, okay, it's just the Lord's will if I get this car or not, or if this light is green and if I get a point going to work, or like we've got all these things. If she says yes and marries me, it's the Lord's will. Nope, she's been on Tinder for way too long and you're just the first one to swipe that direction, right? Can you say Tinder in church? We can, we're innovation. Let's go back to the Bible, all right? That'll get us focused, all right? See, in Luke 19, if you're looking and trying to figure out how we're going to talk about Jesus today, In Luke 19, 35 through 38, it says, they brought the donkey to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it, right? Didn't even get a saddle, for crying out loud, right? And he went along. People spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to joyfully praise God. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Like we see this moment was actually a moment that was promised, or some would say prophesied, right? In Zechariah 9:9, it says, see, your King comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey. This was a prophet hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of years prior to Jesus. This wasn't the only prophet that spoke prophecies and then they came true. I know a lot of the ladies in here, like you have a prophecy that you hope comes true every single Sunday. Sunday nap, right? Like Sunday nap. And you speak that into existence, and it doesn't always happen, though. The kids are loud. The husband's loud. Things just don't work out. But that's just one, right? We see even just one of Zechariah's, but there were over 300 that came true about Jesus. Like, that's not just a coincidence. That's not just that's interesting. There's a mathematical equation came out by Peter Stoner. He's a mathematician. And he said, for just 8 of those prophecies, not all 300, but just 8 of them to come true, his conclusion was 1 in 10 with 17 more zeros. Anybody got that number? Right? Trillion, trillion, quadrillion. The odds of just 8 of those prophecies coming true in one person's life. And we see Jesus with over 300. Over 300 of the Old Testament prophecies coming true in Jesus' life. I sometimes think it takes more faith not to believe in Jesus. To see all the evidence, to see all the prophecies, to see everything line up. I'm a logical guy. Like A plus B. No, I didn't like when they did letters in math. 1 + 1 = 2, right? Like when it just adds up, it's like, okay, I can follow this. This makes sense. And this makes sense when prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, not just 8, not just the 10 quadrillion, 100 quadrillion, right? But that's not the main point. At least that's not the main point on Palm Sunday, right? Because kings ride in horses, right? You heard Peter there say, like, when kings come in, it's a triumphant entry, right? They ride horses. They ride Clydesdales, right? They're there. They're large. They're in charge. I mean, Prince Ali, he came in on an elephant, for crying out loud, right? But Jesus rides a donkey. Because I think kings, they ride into war on a horse because they're there to take a life. But Jesus rides in humbly on a donkey because he's there to give his life. See, even the people that were cheering for him wanted him to take. But when you look at who Jesus is, who he was, when you look at the prophecy, when you look at even the posture of riding in, when you look at his purpose, he knows what his purpose is. You begin to see that this isn't a parade of Jesus coming to town. It's really a picture of who he really is. That faithful friend that rides in with the posture of sacrifice. That friend that's going to be there knowing the cost and stays all the way to the cross. That friend that is there no matter what. Throughout this series, we've talked about what true friendship is, because sometimes in 2026, we can lose sight of that. We can think it's a thumbs up, or I liked their dinner picture, or I followed them, or I showed up to a shower, or I showed up to this or that. Like we can really lose sight of what friendship truly is. And we've talked all this series about how many of us can be one friend away, one community away, what the foundation of friendship is. But in this last week, I wanted to look at what a true friend how a true friend acts, how we can be just like the one that's been a friend to all of us. Palm Sunday, I believe, gives us the answers. It's loud, it's emotional, it's energetic, it's a moment, but while people are shouting, Hosanna, while people are shouting, save us, rescue us, Jesus knows that that praise is just temporary. But the same voices shouting Hosanna on Sunday are going to be silent on Friday. But what we see here is real friendship that's not built on applause. It's not built when it's convenient. Jesus didn't ride in because the crowd was faithful. He knew what the crowd was going to do. But he rode in because he was faithful. How does that look in our friendship? Are we faithful friends because of who our friends are and how they're acting? Like, as long as they're cool, as long as they look good, right? As long as they have a full head of hair, I can hang out with them, right? As long as they're the ones buying the drinks, right? I mean, I'm just talking about how the world has some standards of, or are we faithful friends because of who we are? See, many times, if we really evaluate our friendship and how our friends are around us, it's usually based off of what our friends are for us, what they bring to the table, instead of who we are. If we really want to understand how far Jesus' faithfulness goes, I think if we look at that map, right? Because he got off the donkey and all throughout the week there were steps that he took and that he kept walking, step after step after step. So if the beginning of the week is over here, if getting off the donkey is over here and the cross is way back there, each step that Jesus took, he knew he's moving forward towards his death, moving forward towards the cross. And so when things happen like a misunderstanding, when things happen like a rejection, a betrayal, an abandonment, a denial, a false accusation, there was a cost. When injustice takes place, he's still taking steps forward. When there's pressure, when there's sorrow, when there's silence, when there's isolation, when there's fear. Roger's freaking out because the camera can't keep up with me today. When there's surrender, when there's obedience, when there's mockery, when there's shame, just step after step leads him all the way to the cross. But because of everything that Jesus was willing to bear, and because of the trip to the cross, we get to meet him there. And then our steps begin to be those that we get to walk away from the sin, from the guilt, from the shame. Because of him, we get to experience forgiveness. Because of him, we get to walk in victory. Because of him, we get to walk in redemption. Time after time after time, the steps that we take are because of the ones that Jesus took to the cross for us. And we can walk in freedom because of that. See, palm branches symbolized victory. And people thought they were waving it because, oh yeah, this is our Savior. He's going to overthrow Rome. He's going to be the next major politician in charge and he's going to wipe everything out. Don't we try to do that even today? When are we going to realize that that's not Jesus' goal? To be the governor? I think he's got a little bit higher standards than just being the president of the United States. Jesus knew what real victory was, and that it wouldn't come through power, that it would come through sacrifice. That's why we've been looking at the verse that says greater, right? Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. It wasn't power that Jesus was seeking. That's not something that was just his words. It wasn't just red letters for a book. That was the way he lived his life. Is that the way we're living ours? when we're a friend to others? Is it only during the good times? Or are there things that we're laying down for that friendship? Not because of who they are, but because of who we are. The cross, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't a tragedy. It wasn't something that happened to Jesus. It was something that he actively chose. Even his own disciples wanted to stand up and stop him from even choosing that. But he chose obedience anyways. He chose sacrifice anyways. And he did all of that for you. He did all of that for me. He did that for us. And at any moment, he could have stopped it, right? In the garden, he wanted to. As he pleads and cries out to his own Father, take this cup from me. This is not what I want to do anymore. This is not going to go well. But it's not about my will. It's about your will be done. As he's there on trial with Pilate, accused of being this king of the Jews, he could have spoke up at any point in time, but he chooses to stay silent. As the nails are driven into his hands, piercing his feet, he could have called down, hey, Gabriel, this hurts a bit. Let's get out of here. I don't want to do this. But he didn't. Because faithful love doesn't run from the cost and leans into it. I think that's where this story becomes personal for us. Because Jesus didn't love us when it was easy. He saw what we were doing, right? All those little stickers and tattoos of Jesus saying, I saw that, right? He saw it, and he still loved us, even though it cost him everything, right? While we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus is that friend that stays when others scatter, because he understands the cost, and he chooses us anyways. So here we are, Palm Sunday. Many of us have read the story. We've heard the story. We've looked ahead, right? You read ahead in the book, right? You got the chapter. If not, then join us on this Holy Week journey. But when you fast forward a few days, when the crowd is gone and the noise fades, Peter denies him, Judas betrays him, all the disciples leave and go back to their jobs. Go back to being a fisherman. Go back to being a tax collector. The same people who said, we'll never leave you, Jesus. We're always going to stand beside you. They're nowhere to be found. But Jesus stays because he knows. He knows if he doesn't, and it doesn't happen. He doesn't quit. He doesn't turn around. He doesn't walk away even though the others have. He keeps moving towards the cross because that's who he is. So in a day when most friendships are conditional, I'll stay as long as it's easy. I'll stay as long as you have hair. I'll stay as long as you're cool. I'll stay as long as I live in the same area. I'll stay, right? We've got conditions on our friendships here on this earth. I'll stay as long as you vote for the same person that I voted for. As long as you don't put up one of those signs in your yard, I'll be your friend. I'll be your neighbor. I'll love you, right? As long as you don't hurt me. As long as you don't steal from me. I'll stay as long as, and we usually have the blanks that we fill in. But Jesus redefines friendship. He's faithful when he's misunderstood. He's present even though we abandon him. He's loving even though at one point in time in our lives we've all rejected him. He's the friend who stays when everyone else walks away. And what I hope that as we look at his life, as we've seen how he walked in anyways, how he came in, what I hope for this room here today is that we would receive that friendship. That if we've never received that friendship, never received that love, many times we'll try to earn it, right? Because if we're just good enough, if we're just clean enough, if we shaved today, if we brushed our teeth, if we wore all the right clothes to church, then okay, Jesus is gonna like me today. If I sing all the songs, maybe if I raise my hands, or if I clap really good. You guys were doing awesome at clapping today. I mean, I know that first song, like all the words, my wife was like, he's rapping up there. I don't know what he's saying. And like, you guys all did really good. Like my twins, on that song, they're always like, the praise, right? Like, it's a tough one. Those words just come out really quick, and you guys were nailing them. You were really good. Some of us are like, well, if I sing all the words right, then he's gonna receive me. If I get my life together first, that's what I love about our church. We don't have to get our lives together first. We know that we can come. Jesus accepts us just as we are, but he loves us enough not to leave us that way. Like, okay, yeah, you're jacked up. Yeah, you're strung out. Yeah, you, I know what you did last summer and last Friday and last Saturday. Yep, I got that down, but you're welcome here. Let's go. Let's follow me. I'll make you. I'll clean you up. I got some people around here that'll help as well. Got some groups around here from Pain to Purpose. I've got grief care that are going to be here for you. I've got leadership training that's here for you. We've got gifts training that's here for you. We've got just people that want to just do life together, that are walking together as they figure out what it's like following after Jesus. They stay connected. They get together in groups. See, many times we try to fix ourselves instead of just receiving his grace, receiving his love, receiving the price that he paid for us. And so what if we today just received it? Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't. You also don't know what I've done. Some of the stories get out and people know about them. Will we receive it? But then once we receive that kind of love, that's the same type of love that we need to reflect. That's where it gets hard, right? That's where you can't be the angriest person in the room, right? That's where we don't look up and down somebody and judge them and call them out. It's where you accept them just as they are and you walk together towards Jesus. Right? That's the kind of friend, right? We talked about Jesus even last week, how he sat and ate with sinners. Didn't say, well, I can't sit down with them. They just smell too bad. Well, shove something up your nose and don't smell, right? Like, it's okay. What happens when we become that kind of friend to others? When we stay when it's uncomfortable. When we love when it's inconvenient. When we get that 2 o'clock phone call and we don't just press snooze or silent, and we answer, we show up at the house and we flush the needles. What happens when we step into those types of friendships? When we forgive when it's undeserved. Well, they didn't say that they were sorry, but we forgave them anyway. Sometimes we have to ask, like, we have to walk in pre-forgiveness. Like, okay, I'm going to pre-forgive. I'm walking into Walmart today. There's going to be some idiot. Like, right? Like, if you're like, okay, I got to drive by campus. I'm going to pre-forgive these students from walking out in the street. Right? I'm not going to hit them. This isn't Frogger. I'm not going to call them names. I'm going to drive into this roundabout with Jesus. Jesus, go before me. Lead me. Guide me. I'm not going to hit anybody on purpose. Like, I'm going to... We love when it's inconvenient. We forgive when it's undeserved. We show up even if it costs us something. What if we don't just look for great friends? Who can be my friend today? What if we just become a great friend? What if we're the ones that love our enemies? So much so that our enemies even know how much our enemies hate us, and they're just like, stop bringing me coffee. Stop bringing me lunch. Why do you do this? When does it get to the point where our enemies are even asking us why we show love towards them? See, this whole series has been building towards even today. So if you missed it or if you're on the road, I'm sorry. Maybe you're watching the replay. But what happens when we're these types of friends? What happens when we're this type of church? Being the type of church that the world needs to see. Not just waving a palm branch to wave a palm branch. Not just having an ashy cross on our head just to have an ashy, oh, look what I did today. How have you loved today? How have you served today? The church we need to be both for each other, but also for this world. Yes, where it's a safe place for egg hunts, right? Safe place for fireworks, safe place for pictures with Santa, but also a safe place for kids to find Jesus. A safe place for some to unlearn religion. A place for you to be able to bring loved ones, to bring neighbors, to bring your tattoo clients, right? A place that you know that they're not going to be shunned just from walking in the door. A place where they'll sense and feel Christ's love. Well, I don't know why I keep coming back here, but these people just keep loving me. They keep serving me bagels and coffee. They actually care about me. A safe place for everyone, just like the sign says, to walk in the doors. Even if they don't know why they're here. See, all this series, we've said the best way to find great friends is to become a great friend. And I think Palm Sunday reminds us of how we can become a great friend. Doing what Jesus did. Jesus was that kind of friend for us first. So this week, this holy week, this week leading into Easter, may we not just admire what Jesus did for us. May we not just wave a palm branch and move on. May we not just say, okay, thank you, Jesus. May we not just take a little communion cup and remember him. But what happens when we decide to follow him? Follow the friend that was walking to the cross when we're following in his footsteps. To stay when other friends leave. To love all the way to the end. If you're here today, we love to put a moment almost at the end of every single Sunday because we know that you're probably going to invite some friends that have never received Jesus. Some of you may have never even received him. You know about him. You know the stories. Maybe you've even grown up in church. But this Jesus, have you ever received his love? Have you received his friendship? Maybe you've kept him at a distance and been like, okay, Jesus, you get this spot right over here. Today reminds us that Jesus didn't wait for us all to get it together. That he rode in anyways. He chose us anyways, that he stayed. Romans 5:8 says, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Right in the middle of our mess, he steps in. And today, we all have a choice. We all have a choice to receive that. Not a religion, not a jumping through hoops or going through motions. Do we receive what he's already given us? A relationship. A relationship that he welcomes us into. And he gave us free will to make the decisions that we've made. And some of us are tired of making those same decisions, trying it our way. And it's time to truly trust in the one that says, come, follow me. I'll make you. Let's do this journey together. Will you pray with us? God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we have to come to set our eyes on your word, to be reminded of who you are and what you've done for us. Not to go through some motions. God, I thank you that you're breaking up what we've thought needed to be our traditions and how we can take our palms and we can use them for you, not just wave them in empty praise. But God, in a crowd like this, both here present and streaming online, there's usually those that have never made that decision to accept his
love, to accept His grace, to accept His mercy. Maybe you're here and you've been doing life your own way. Maybe today is one of the best Sundays you can surrender to Jesus, because you heard about how He surrendered for you, how He stepped in anyways, knowing what was ahead, knowing what was coming, knowing the betrayal, knowing the cross, knowing the manipulation, knowing that everybody was going to leave Him, and He stepped in and He did it for you. Not for Himself, not for His own glory. He took on the guilt. He took on the shame. He was beaten and buried for you. But 3 days after that, He rose from the grave, proving who He said He was, proving all the prophecies were pointing towards a Savior. If you've never received that Savior, if you've never received Jesus' life, if you've never asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, then why not Palm Sunday 2026? Why not change that? Church, we're going to go through a whole repeat after me prayer. We do it every week as an opportunity for that starting line, that first step. We meet Jesus at the cross. We meet Him at the point that He laid it all down for us. We receive His grace and mercy there at the cross so that we can now walk in freedom. In church, I actually ask all to pray together. And so it's a simple repeat after me prayer. If you're praying it for the first time, pray right along with those that are to your left and to your right, because we're all in this together. Pray this after me. Pray, dear Jesus, I've been doing life my own way. I know I've sinned. I know I've fallen short. But today I see it clearly. I see that You didn't give up on me. I see that You went to the cross for me. And today, I turn to You. I ask You to forgive me. I ask You to make me new. Will You be my Lord? Will You be my Savior? Will You be my friend? From this day forward, I declare it's my choice to follow after You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, would you put your hands together for those that just said that prayer?
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.